Today, on The Journey.
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In the fear of God, one has strong confidence. And remember, if we feared God more, we'd be wise enough to fear everything else less.
What one biblical virtue has the means to give you significance, wisdom, and peace? Well, that's the virtue Ron Moore shares in this half hour. Listen and discover what you've been searching for all your life. Before that, a quick word about our premium offer for this series titled A Biblically Managed Life. It's a seven-step quest for a fulfilling life guided by God's Word, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with part two of Fearing God on The Journey.
So if each of us would be vulnerable enough, we could share a particular thing going on in our life that causes this emotion of fear to churn within us. Now, Scripture is not silent about fear. A quick search and you'll find this. Fear is mentioned 271 times in the Bible. Afraid, 212 times. Distress, 84 times. Terror, 76. Tremble, 55. Horror, 24. Dread, 20. Panic, 12. Alarm, 10. Anxiety, 7. God kind of addresses the issue of the human heart, doesn't he? Makes me scared just reading the list to you. Fear and its derivatives are common to all of us. But what we want to do is not look at the events or those issues that bring fear. What we're trying to do in this series is to dig below that. And what are the hidden issues that are really causing us to be afraid? Issues like inadequacy. I just don't measure up. And if I don't measure up, I'm afraid that he or she may not accept. And so I have to pretend to be somebody else, right? Surrender. Can God really satisfy the area of my life that sin is satisfying right now? Insignificance. I'm going to slide through this whole life, and my life isn't going to amount to anything. I am insignificant. Uncertainty. What's the future hold? My goodness, what will the stock market do next week? Because if the stock market doesn't do what I need it to, I'm really in trouble. Failure. What if others see me for who I really am? What if I am exposed in my failure and death, the final enemy? So here's the question. What would it look like if we were not afraid? What would it look like if fear wasn't holding us back or it wasn't holding us down? What would it look like if we could move forward with confidence into this life that God has? What would it look like if we could climb the pole of fear, whatever it is, and allow God to work through our lives? We're going to be addressing these fears, but the first thing we've got to deal with is this healthy fear of God. Healthy fear of God is honor and respect and awe of God, always demonstrated by what? Obedience. Because I can talk all about how I love God and how I want to serve Him and how I read my Bible and how I go to Bible studies. In fact, I'm involved in Bible study every week. But unless I do what the Bible says, unless I demonstrate it by obedience, it's just lip service. I'm just talking. Honor, respect, and awe demonstrated by obedience. We need to begin with a healthy fear of God to address our fears in our life. Otherwise, we're going to depend on people to make us happy. And it's not going to work. We're going to depend on a position to give us significance. We're going to depend on a situation to give us peace. We're going to depend on a process like our investment and retirement to give us security. Now, nothing inherently wrong with these things. We need all those things. But if they become our God, That's the problem. If they become our source of security and significance, then we are going to live a life of fear. And so we have to begin with this fear of God. Here's why it's important. Scripture tells us, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 14, 26, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. One more, Proverbs 14, 27. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. One writer put it simply and profoundly at the same time. If we feared God more, we would be wise enough to fear everything else less. Okay, so in order to face our fears, we want to find out who God is. We want to know that He's a God we can trust. We want to see His character and His attributes. And so we're working through those. Last time, we started with His holiness. And we want to look at several more today. The one thing I want us to make sure we see before we look at the attributes of God is this. When we look at God, we have to look at God in His fullness. God cannot be taken apart. And so when we look at His attributes, we'll look at them one at a time, right? But we can't pull one out and say, oh, that's who God is, without seeing how it ties in to all the other attributes. All of God's attributes are fully in play at the same time, all the time. So here's the first one we'll look at today. Number one, incomprehensible. God is beyond human understanding. On our best day, with our best efforts, the best mind cannot fully comprehend who God is. Job 36, 26, how great is God beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours. Romans chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments. And it's past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of God, or who has become His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God is incomprehensible. Now, let me say this. I'm going to make sure you understand this. If a person is saying, I'm searching for God, I want to know who God is, I'm just having some trouble with that, that means God's working in their heart. And they want to learn some things, and so they can accept this God they're searching for. God says, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. But if you're here today, and in your arrogance, you're saying, well, I'll tell you what, I'll accept God when I get all my questions about Him figured out. You're going to spend a long eternity in hell with a lot of questions, because God is incomprehensible. So a person who comes to me and says, I've got this friend who's an atheist, brilliant person. I'm intimidated to talk to the person. This guy's so intellectual. Really? You believe God's word? Because God's word says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't see arrogance as brilliance. Don't see arrogance as intellect, because God's placed eternity in a person's heart. And if a person's brilliance is keeping them from God, it's because their pride is keeping them from Him. God is incomprehensible. We bow before Him, the God beyond our understanding. Number two, eternal. God has no beginning, He has no end. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 90, verse 2, a song of Moses. There was never a time when God wasn't. There will never be a time when He ceases to be. There is no succession of moments in His being. God never says, my goodness, where did April go? That was really fast. God sees all things at one time in vivid color. He works in time, because he loves us. But he sees one vivid picture in this God who is eternal, watches me throughout the day. And since he's eternal, then he'll always be. I never have to worry about him being gone. And since he's always going to be there, all the promises he gives us will always be there. A person can give you a promise. They cease to exist. They can't keep their promise. But God will always be there. He's eternal. Next one, independent. God depends on no person. He depends on no thing. Isaiah chapter 40, who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to incite, to enlighten him, or who has taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? All rhetorical questions. Isaiah is saying, no one did. Now, we all depend on people and things every day, don't we? But God is the source of all things. He is independent. He is self-existent. He is self-reliant. What's that mean practically? Well, it means his work is not slowed when there's a shortage of raw materials. It means that he's not waiting on a supplier. It means he's not wringing his hands when the stock market goes up or down. It means that his generosity is not dependent on the economy. It means that he is not stingy with his blessings. 2 Corinthians 9, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. God will give you everything you need to do what he's called you to do because he's independent. He's not depending on other people or other things. Next one, immutable. God is unchanging. He is unchangeable and he is unchanging. Malachi 3:9, God said, I, the Lord, do not change. Although God acts and feels emotion, we read that in Scripture, he is unchanging in his being. He's unchanging in his perfection. He's unchanging in his promises. Let me read this. A Dutch theologian, Herman Van Dyck, listen to what he says. The doctrine of God's immutability is of the highest significance. The contrast between being and becoming marks the difference between the creator and the creature. Every creature is continually becoming. It is changeable, consistently striving, seeks rest and satisfaction, and finds this rest in God, in him alone, for only he is pure being and no becoming. I love that. God is pure being and no becoming. Now, let's face it, most of our fears are produced by change. What's going to happen if? What's going to happen when? Stock market, economy, government, people, marriage. We change. What is the aging process going to hold for us? And so fear comes. But God never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is pure being and no becoming. And so he's not going to change his promises to me. He's not going to change his position. My fearful heart can settle peacefully on this fact that God is the rock that you can cling to and you can depend on. It's going to be there tomorrow morning and the millennium after that and the millennium after that. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Omnipotent. God is all-powerful. Jeremiah 32:17 says, All sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, having said that, there are some things God can't do. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. James 1:13, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he can't deny himself. He can't go back on his word. It is impossible for God to do those things. And that gives us confidence. Because if he says something, he's not going to go back on it. You may be in a situation that seems absolutely impossible. Your back is up against the wall. You're at the end of your rope. You're feeling helpless. You're feeling hopeless. Let me just tell you this. That's where God does his very best work. When we come to the point where we say, this is out of my control, God says, I've been waiting for that. Now watch me do this. Nothing is too hard for him. Paul says he is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. Next one, omnipresent. God is not limited by space or time. The psalmist asks, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. God is present everywhere at the same time in his full being. That means we're never alone. That means anywhere you go, God is already there. The omnipresent God will be with you throughout eternity. And you may feel alone sometime, but the one who is eternal, the one who is unchanging, the one who is all powerful, he will never leave you. He is omnipresent. Fear the Lord is a healthy fear that says, I need to honor him and respect him by what? Obeying him. Omniscient. God is all-knowing. Job 37 says, do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of him who has perfect knowledge. God knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen 1,000 years after tomorrow. Now, much of our fear comes from uncertainty, doesn't it? What ifs? What if this doesn't happen? What if that does happen? Anxiety comes. But God knows everything. When we focus on the what ifs, we're going to be afraid. When we focus on the one who knows everything and doesn't change, remember, fear of the Lord produces strong confidence. Because he knows where we're headed. And I can rest in that. Nothing's going to take him by surprise. Next one, love. God is love. 1 John 4:7 through 10 says this, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Love is an action word. God is deeply affectionate for us. He loves us with an eternal love. He loves us with an unchangeable love. He's all-knowing, so he knows everything about us. You can't say, if God really knew this part of me, he wouldn't love me, because he already knows it and loves us unconditionally when we trust in Jesus Christ. He loved us so much that he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And when we trust in him, Romans chapter 8 says absolutely nothing, nothing in all of creation can separate us from his love. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, the Lord is with you. He's mighty to save. Takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Think about God's love, his perfect love for you, the love that will never let you go, a love that is unconditional. And the Bible says, he will quiet you with his love. Now, let me just say this. Of all the attributes that people love to rip out and just focus on is this aspect of love, right? You can't take one of God's attributes out and say this is who God is. Because he's also, we'll see next, righteous and just. He is the final standard. I can't rip out love without looking at the next one, his righteousness. God acts in accordance with what is right and is himself the final standard of what is right. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His ways are perfect. All his ways are just. He is a faithful God. He does no wrong. Upright and just is he. If his word says it, it is right. It's not negotiable. If he says something is wrong, it is wrong. I don't care what culture says. I don't care how values change. It is wrong. Because he is immutable. He is eternal. He didn't think up this stuff yesterday. They were in his mind from eternity past. They're not going to change through eternity future. He is just and right in all he says and all he does. God's righteousness is a double-edged sword. First, he is righteous and just, and therefore, he cannot deny himself. He cannot turn a blind eye to sin. In fact, he hated sin so much, he sent his son to pay the penalty for sin. So part of fear of God is to realize God is righteous. He is the final judge. Now, there's a second part of this. He's the rock, Deuteronomy says. His ways are perfect. His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. A faithful God who does no wrong. What does that mean? Whatever is going on in your life right now, God doesn't make mistakes. I don't understand it. You may not understand it. But somehow, if you're a believer, he's going to cause all these things to work together for good in your life. There's going to be a purpose to it. I know you may not believe that right now, but there's going to be a purpose, again, because God's promises don't change. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In the fear of God, one has strong confidence. And remember, if we feared God more, we'd be wise enough to fear everything else less.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. What does a biblically managed life look like, and how can you experience it? Ron Moore takes you on that spiritual journey in his booklet titled, A Biblically Managed Life. In its pages, you'll discover an eternal perspective that informs 7 days of life-altering challenges from Scripture. Things like how you can invest God's gifts of time and resources, living with a spiritual mind, and the influence you can have in this world. A Biblically Managed Life is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to tell us about an exciting event.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, I want to invite you to join us for our Relevant Faith Apologetic Series at one of our campuses in Robinson, Ross Traver, South Hills, Washington, or at our Wilkinsburg campus. If you live outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join our online campus on Sundays via our website, our app, or our Facebook page. This series runs from the weekend of August 10th and 11th through the weekend of September 14th and 15th, and it tackles some of the most important questions facing our culture today. Questions like, is there absolute truth, the person of Jesus Christ, and the significance of the church? So visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. You can get more information there about this series and about our church. And our prayer is that through this series, God would draw unbelievers into a relationship with Jesus Christ and equip believers to defend their faith and stand for Christ in their schools, in their workplaces, and communities. We'll see you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. Also, please remember to order your copy of A Biblically Managed Life. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.